Paige Albiniak, editorial director at Promax, and this is the Daily Brief podcast. Today, I have back with me the wonderful and brilliant Linda Ong. She is CEO and founder of Cultique, which is new, and that's what we're going to talk about. And she has brought with her Sarah Unger, partner and co-founder of Cultique. So typically, Linda comes on and we talk about something happening in the culture and the ramifications of that thing. But today, we're going to talk about this new venture that Linda and Sarah are launching. As I previously said, it's called Cultique. Let's get into it. Hello, both of you guys. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having us, Paige.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
All right. So let's just jump right into it. And why don't you guys go ahead, and I'll start with Linda. Go ahead and describe what is Cultique. And also tell me the genesis of the name.
So the genesis of the name is that we look at culture from a boutique perspective. We're very bespoke and premium. We really are about tailoring insights for our clients. We're not about creating commodity insights, but really taking a very tailored approach and making sure that everything that we do is incredibly actionable for our clients.
Okay. And what would you add to that, Sarah?
I would say that cultural insights, though it's always been a really important discipline, has become quite mission critical at this moment in time, as we are in a cultural perfect storm of events. Take your pick, right? The impending election, climate change, COVID pandemic, culture shifting really, really fast. And so we find that our discipline is getting increased attention at this moment as people are trying to navigate how they address the moment through the platform of their brand.
So Linda, you mentioned that Cultique will bring a boutique perspective. Can you elaborate on that a little bit? What does that mean specifically that you bring to your clients?
Yeah, well, we have really had a lot of different iterations in my career and the types of work that we've done, everything from big external landscapes of audiences to genres to specific shows or brands, and really trying to understand what the cultural strategy is behind getting these brands to really have the impact that they want in culture. And what we found was that the closer and deeper the relationships we have with our clients, the more we really help up their own cultural intelligence. And so by providing a very concierge style approach to the way that we work with clients allows us to really be more selective about who we work with, but also serve them more, almost like a cultural insights department in their own companies.
Would you like to add to that too, Sarah?
Sure. I think in doing the work, when we had previously having been on the client side of things, it's really helped us craft an offering that's usable. We often talk about there's insights and then there's actionable insights. And so I think one of the ways that we make our insights really useful is blending not only the anthropological discipline of cultural insights and semiotics, but also putting a brand and business strategy lens on it, and also creativity as well. Linda and I both have brand strategy and business strategy backgrounds. So when we're trend mining, when we're coming up with deep paradigm shifts in culture, we're figuring out how they actually translate to the business versus putting together, you know, a beautiful coffee table book of trends that you're not really going to use in a chaotic cultural moment.
To build on what Sarah was saying about being business critical right now in this moment of time, I think we had created some internal workings in terms of processes and the way that our team works, just as a way to be more efficient and be more nimble this year at the beginning of the year. And then the pandemic hit. And what that actually did, as it did with a lot of culture, is it accelerated a lot of the ideas and dreams, in fact, that we had. But things that we already had in place were just intensified and amplified by the pandemic. And what we saw was that we were able to move at the speed of culture. And that's something a lot of companies are not equipped to do. And so by really being able to recognize that clients are facing all kinds of questions every day that they've never had to deal with before. Everything from like, oh my God, is this post, you know, okay to right. put up on social media, to can we air this show? Do we need to change the script? And it's everything from racial justice to COVID to, you know, the rise of Gen Z. There's so much change, as Sarah talked about, the perfect storm that's going on right now, that it can be overwhelming. And it's not that people and our clients aren't aware that culture is changing, but it's very difficult for them to separate the signal from the noise. And because we're constantly looking at all the noise, we use the filter of their brand, their business goals, and their audience to really identify what's the most relevant for them. What do they need to know? And how do they not only have the right strategy for culture, but how do they behave in culture in ways that they'll get recognized for it?
Okay. And so let's say, just to keep this very neutral, let's say I'm your client and I'm launching the page channel. Let's pretend that that's happening. And so I'm saying, I really want to reach Gen Z. And so I would come to you and you guys would say it was specifically focused around your brand. You know, these are the cultural insights that are relevant to you and the way you communicate versus, let's say, the way the Linda channel should operate, or the way the Sarah, yeah. you know what I mean? Like, so these are custom information suited to them. Yeah.
It's kind of like back in the day when I was doing a lot of branding for women, it's like not all women are the same, right? And the right. same thing for Gen Z or the Black audience or the sci-fi fans, you know, I mean, everybody's different within their own group. And so, you know, we would ask like, well, where do you want to live in Gen Z culture? Do you want to be seen as, you know, right in the zeitgeist of Gen Z culture? Do you want to be seen as ahead of the curve? You know, and then what we do in defining and getting that understanding of your brand, your business goal, and your audience is we look at who's in that conversation right now, whether it's an influencer, a brand, a piece of content, thought leader, who's driving those conversations? What are the leading edges of those conversations? And how can your brand or your product either join those conversations, lead the conversations, or start new ones in those digital tribes?
Can you guys both talk a little bit about, first of all, what your backgrounds are? Some of it will be a little bit of a reminder, but what your backgrounds are, and then what brought the two of you together at this moment in time to launch this? And I'm going to start with Sarah, just because I've started with Linda a couple of times already.
Sure. How do you summarize a lifetime succinctly? That's important and good.
That's a song.
Good question, right? On a business card. But I think I've always been interested in the intersection of things, right? I didn't want to do one discipline. Why pick one discipline when you could study all of them? That's always been my sort of life mantra of being a child of the universe and quite defined by curiosity. And so I've pivoted within different disciplines. So I started in PR, really understanding how you communicate to the external world, ended up being an in-house creative at Ketchum, which is a global PR agency, had a passion for entertainment. So hopped over to Viacom to be able to really understand the portfolio at key moments in time for their brands, be it Paramount, Nickelodeon, MTV, and explored my business strategy chops while there as well when you're working at a large corporation. And so I sort of got to be, I always kind of use the analogy of being Jane Goodall. Throughout all of these experiences, I was dropping in on different cultures, working across so many different industry sectors and clients to do this, learning as much as I could and translating as I went along. And as I did all this, when I tried to take a step back and figure out what's the thread, what's the glue that connects together what I bring to the table, it turned out it was the same as the glue that Linda Ong brought to the table. When I met Linda, I realized that. And so it's this specific appreciation for and appetite for translating the external world, culture, what I'm studying as, you know, Jane Goodall, that actually became the defining aspect of my work. So I met Linda and was able to work to build out this discipline at Civic. And the past few years doing it have been just really successful, is we've had an extreme appetite for this type of consulting. And so fast forward to a pandemic, cultural crises, and here we are with Cultique.
And then Linda, also just, I know that we've talked about it before, but just give me a little sum up of your background.
Yeah, that's been a whole podcast in the past, but it's not good. No, I just would say that I have weaponized a lot of personal issues that I've had since I was born, both regarding identity creation and communication of identity, as well as understanding how cultures, different cultures work and interact and how culture works within itself. So I would say, you know, having been a creative, starting this in my professional career as an art director and then moving on to being a writer producer and then a creative director and then a brand strategist and then a cultural analyst, I bring all those things through. And I think it's why we've been able to really have a lot of success with our clients, not only because we are good at what we do and because we have an amazing team, but also because I think fundamentally I'm always driven by how does this affect the creative? How does this help someone make a decision about copy or visuals or creative strategy? So ultimately, you know, our quest is to help our clients make the best creative decisions based on culture, but not tell them what to do.
How is Qualtique going to fit within Civic or relate to Civic, or is it completely separate? What does that structure look like?
It's basically a spinoff. I mean, anyone who's been working with us for the past couple of years is not going to really feel a difference. It'll just feel like a rebrand, but we're very excited that we have a new business model with them. And Sarah, I'm so lucky and appreciative and very fortunate to have Sarah as my co-founder, because we are very yin and yang, but we are overlap in all the best places. And I think we have had 2 years to really think about this and formulate it, but we're extremely also grateful to have the backing and the encouragement of Civic.
Now, you said you've been working on this maybe for 2 years, obviously pre-pandemic, but what is it about the current times that makes you think we need to do this business with this structure within Civic right now, as opposed to just continuing to work within Civic and sort of shifting your perspective a little bit?
I'll let Sarah answer that.
Sure. I think because of the way culture is shifting right now, it requires a very fluid approach. And so, as Linda had mentioned earlier in the podcast, even the way we approach our team structure had always been increasingly fluid and increasingly entrepreneurial. And within being a dedicated venture towards this, not only is there, of course, just heightened visibility under your own brand name, which, you know, elevates the import into the external facing world and certainly clients and industry. It also gives us, it broadens the aperture so that we can be more experimental in how we solve problems for our clients, but also engage with culture as creative entrepreneurs. So we don't know yet what that will lead to in the future, whether it puts us in more of a creator mode as well as consultant mode, but we're very excited by the possibilities. So if we loved the frame that we had before, this widens the aperture for us.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm running my own brand.
Do you have, I mean, it's really new, so maybe you don't, and I know, and I don't also want to make you call out specific clients if you don't want to, but do you have any examples of, you know, like specific examples of how Qualtique will work with clients, will work with brands?
Yeah, well, we can't. I mean, we would love to talk about our clients, but we're legally not able to. So we'll just say we're very fortunate to work with some of the best brands in the business across different platforms, from streaming to linear to digital. I think the way we work with brands is really, again, to sort of the boutique model at your service. And we can still do in the larger projects and look at big meaty problems that are going on or trends. But I think what we're finding is that the ability for people to just be able to pick up the phone and say, what do you think about this? Or, hey, can you look at this? And not have it be part of a nickel and diming kind of rate card just gives us a lot more freedom to always be thinking on their behalf. And I think I just want to go back to something Sarah said about having the freedom to kind of push the envelope and to engage with culture in some of maybe some areas that are a little more experimental or a little more fringe also benefits our clients, because we're able to really, you know, engage with not only the ideas and the conversations, but actually the people that are making these things happen. And we've been building for the past couple of years a coalition of these thinkers, makers, doers, artists, academics, journalists, all these people that are involved in these different aspects of culture that we're incredibly curious about and that really our clients can benefit from. So I kind of think of it like a big community, a big coalition of people who are just engaged in this conversation on an everyday basis and just allows us to have that continuity with our clients. I kind of think of it, what we're doing now, as like flirting with chaos. I think we're in times that are so unpredictable. And I mean, we don't know what's going to happen in the next month. We literally cannot. And we're not futurists. We're not forecasters. We just know it's going to be crazy. You know, to have the ability for our clients to be able to call us and get our, pick our brains. And we have such an amazing think tank of different perspectives, different experts from different areas that we can really curate the right voices for each client. And I think that, you know, we're going to need that more than ever, especially over the next 6 months, because we're in unknown territory here.
And I think we can speak a little bit to the type of disciplines that we've been doing in this moment, even if not specific projects. I think, especially at this moment, data has a tough time predicting just because things are so asymmetrical and fluid. So we're able to use our discipline and really investigate what we anticipate to be consumer mindset shifts in the future. We've been calling that future casting, based on essentially reading cultural clues and looking at historical data for how consumers have emotionally processed previous pandemics, overlaid with the current cultural tracking that we're doing regarding consumer emotions and need states. And that's been really, really helpful for clients who are in planning cycles, but not really able to pull from traditional quant or qual research to be able to answer and predict, because things are shifting so fast. I would also say that we're especially helping clients who are making content and wanting to feel of the moment. You know, how do you reflect the current pandemic in the stuff you're putting on air or planning to put on air? Does it have a role in the show? Is this a show that's devoid of that moment? Is this escapist? So we help calibrate that based on the content and who it's serving, as well as making sure that content is shifting in the way culture is shifting. There's a lot of really sensitive issues out there right now, and people need our cultural acumen to be able to make sure they're not speaking in ways that are residual and even tone deaf.
Yeah. And I would add to that, that it's hard, I think, sometimes within companies, because they're just not naturally equipped to be able to process the many different points of views that they have internally, right? So something will happen, and then the CEO may have a perspective, the CMO may have a perspective, the head of programming might have a perspective, and they're all informed by what I like to call me search, right? Their own experiences, their own application of how they process the world. We try to keep our personal opinions out of it as much as possible and really look objectively again through the lens for the client and try to understand, what does culture mean on its terms vis-a-vis the, or what is culture saying on its terms vis-a-vis whatever the challenge at hand is. And again, the brand, the business goals, and the audience. And so I think a lot of times, you know, we can help be more objective about culture than internal voices.
Do you guys, you mentioned, you know, the team of experts, et cetera, that you were drawing from. Do you have that team in-house at Civic that you're bringing over to Cultique, or is a lot of that contributors, contractors, freelancers?
Both. We stay pretty lean. We have a core team, and we have some key. So Megan Collins is our analyst, who's been with us for a year. Lena Gallagher just joined a couple months ago. Rajiv Menon is still part of Brain Trust. And another partner we have is Marian Tanis. But we're always working with other great talent. And again, we curate based on the needs. So if there's someone who has expertise in a certain area or has a perspective that will be particularly helpful, you know, we have a lot of flexibility and, you know, as it happens, a lot of diversity. So right now, at this moment in time, when people are really concerned about reflecting voices and experiences that may have been marginalized in another time, you know, we have a lot of different perspectives on that, as well as we've been studying it. We just had a whole study on Black female viewers. We've done a whole Gen Z study. You know, we've looked at a lot of different perspectives and continue to. So I think that's super helpful, because then you're not, you know, then you're really getting that 360 cultural point of view.
In addition, I'd say we had, from a just functionality perspective, as Linda mentioned, the ability to be nimble and agile is really important to our workflow, so that we're focusing on lean process and really then spending our time and energy fielding rather than trying to parse through workflow. We had basically already been shifting into and foreshadowing a virtual model that COVID and the pandemic has proven to be the future of the workforce. That's how we were already working. So for us, it was a pretty seamless shift in that regard. Of course, there's sort of the personal adjustment from not going into seeing clients and colleagues in person, but the way we worked largely was built for a post-pandemic world. So that worked in our favor.
Do you think you would have taken this step? Because it sounds like you've been talking about it for a little, but do you think you would have taken this step even had there not been a pandemic? Or do you think the pandemic, the politics, the protests, all that accelerated it to the point where...
All of the peas.
I know. That it accelerated to the point where, like, the time became now, maybe sooner than you had thought.
No, we would have done this in before the pandemic. It just took the legal contracts so long. Seriously.
Okay. But you saw that culture was moving that quickly anyway.
We were planning this. I've been working on this, you know, again, like in my head for 2 years, and Sarah and I more formally for the past year, but we were ready to go in March. We just didn't have the legal stuff nailed down with Civic. If anything, it was the best sort of rapid prototype test, right? It was proof of concept that the quarantine happened, and we just kept going. I think if anything, it just made everything click into place faster.
Which goes back to the first pandemic conversation I think I had was with you, and when we talked about how the pandemic was going to accelerate everything. And I can't tell you how many times I've quoted that, because I feel like that's been so incredibly true every day to a head spinning degree. So right there, that's a way in which Pultique can help you predict the future.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you know, we talk about working at the speed of culture. I mean, you've heard me say this probably ad nauseum, but like, more has changed in the last 6 or 7 months than it changed in the last 6 or 7 years, and arguably the last 60 or 70. I remember in the first 2 weeks of the pandemic, first maybe 4 weeks, my head was blowing up. It was so hard.
I feel like that every day.
Just the volume of information that a person, like just a civilian, has to process, let alone to do it for your job. All of us were like, you know, our heads were exploding. And so we just had to, we didn't really have a choice, because this is our chosen profession. And we just had to try to figure out how to make sense of it all. So, I mean, in that way, it's been kind of a great coping mechanism, because watching things change, watching them evolve, and trying to extract meaning from them is what we all have to do anyway.
All right. I could ask you many more questions, but I know you guys have a hard out. If you guys want to check out Cultique, they have a website. This is how organized they are. They already have a website. It's Cultique, CULTIQUE.co. So check them out. And thank you, Linda. Thank you, Sarah. Until next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Bye. Have a great day.
Bye.
That's it for this episode of the Daily Brief podcast. If you have suggestions for conversations, please reach out to us on Facebook and LinkedIn at Promax Global, or on Instagram and Twitter at Promax_Global. You can also email us at dailybrief@promax.org, and you can subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on Apple Podcasts, where you can also rate and review us, or on Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And as always, thanks for listening.